Oh, those nights in Montreal, pretty special. We'll learn all about it and more. It's Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street in Bangor. Eric Meehan joining us. Well, how was Montreal, Eric?
Montreal was amazing, and that's funny. I thought you only played that song for me. Now you played it for everybody.
It's
so awkward.
Might as well be open about it.
Yeah, that's all right. Well, listen, I'm having a little technical difficulty with right now, so I'm gonna stall everybody. I basically know what I was going to talk about, but I usually love my notes, and of course, I have the proverbial, like, you know, just old enough computer that everything, including my battery, so it likes to do that. But basically, I can start in. So, first of all, by the way, our friend Bruce Pratt, go Rangers, go to that special place down below, go Devils. that appropriate. I love the man, but honestly, and I'm delighted to hear that is everything went well Saturday night. But honestly, the Rangers can and the worst owner in all of sports. You know, they don't deserve to win for so many reasons. All right, so folks, we're talking this month about cooking with alcohol, and so we're talking about flavor profiles, things like this. But it was something that I sort of started on last week, but I just wanted to repeat to everybody because it came up in conversation several times over the past week, ironically, is this idea of the fact that a lot of us grew up with wines that were named after famous regions or famous wines that have nothing to do with them. And so specifically, anybody who's looking up old recipes, Julia Child especially was guilty of this in her own special way, that recipes that call for specific wines that legitimate versions of cost a lot of money. Let me back up. I'm sorry. This is my way of reiterating that American fighting men and women went over to the places that are very famous, Alsace, Burgundy, Champagne, and then into Germany, into the Mosel, into the Rhine. And then, of course, we've had a military presence in southern Germany really ever since the end of World War II. And so there's a lot of sort of association of the finer things that come from that part of the world. But then certain California winemakers, especially, you know, sort of bulk winemakers back in the day, sort of absconded with these ideas and said, we're going to make California Chablis, California Champagne, hearty Burgundy, which, as I like to remind people, is simply not a thing because Burgundy by law is Pinot Noir, and Pinot Noir really doesn't get very hearty. Complex and delicious, sure, but not hearty. And a lot of these things, you know, they serve their purpose in terms of, you know, only, you know, semi-palatable cooking wine and drinking wine, jug wine, and, you know, it's sort of, it serves its purpose. But those purposes are gone. So as I try to remind people, if you're looking at these old recipes, don't pay any mind necessarily to the specific wine. Bring that recipe into your favorite wine merchant and say, this is what I'm going for. What's an economical way of doing a bottle that I can, you know, enjoy? And also never cook with anything you wouldn't actually put in your mouth, because that'll just ruin it. But now we're seeing a little bit more protection on things like that in terms of, you know, international law. So it'll be a little less relevant. And of course, there's so many more wines and beers these days to choose from that it becomes a little less relevant to sort of talk about the flavor profile that you're going for, and somebody can help you say, okay, I think this or this or not this, definitely not this. And speaking of beer, It's important to sort of think about the same thing. You know, cooking with wine, cooking with beer, both give you a lot of the same things. You know, you're adding moisture back into the thing. You're concentrating the flavors of whatever, you know, drink you're adding to the thing. Beer, on the other hand, because it has a little bit more yeast and malt, becomes a little bit more active when you're cooking with it. So you want to treat it in those ways, especially if you're making, like, for instance, you can make, like, beer bread, and the yeast in the beer is the thing that's going to act as the yeast agent in that. So you're sort of thinking of beer in a parallel way to your other baking essentials when you're using beer. I like to think about that. And beer, I mean, there's so many things that you actually use beer in. It is actually the third most popular beverage in the world, after water and tea. And it sort of makes sense. I mean, it's a good way to sort of stretch water. Of course, there's the monk tradition or monastery, I don't know the right way of saying it, but the tradition of during Lent having monastic beers that are fairly low in alcohol, but you know, they're very rich in all the goodness that will sustain you. So there's a lot more to beer sometimes when it comes to combining it with food than wine, and it just sort of in that way. And beer, of course, like it's very, very, very ancient. It goes back to the Code of Hammurabi, which is the ancient Mesopotamian law. So beer has been around and certainly part of baking, especially, you know, when it starts to go, it's a great thing to sort of throw in. And when you're talking about beer, obviously these days, as I was saying, there's so much more available. When I like to think about cooking with beer, I'm not necessarily thinking about the millions of beers out there now that are filled with weirdness. I mean, good stuff, but like much harder to predict in terms of overall flavors, like some of these beers that are, you know, vanilla raspberry milkshake lactose stout. I might steer away from cooking with those. I mean, you can, I mean, you know, be bold, as my old hockey coach slash English professor would tell me, you know, but some of these I would steer away from, whereas if you're getting to more pure forms of beer, so for instance, one of the buzzwords in beer lately, which makes me happy because I like these sorts of beers, is the Reinheitsgebot. This is the German beer law of purity, and it comes since the Holy Roman Emperor. So it's been around for a while, as well as you know, and basically what it says is beer is required to be only water, hops, barley. This is still used in Germany in terms of their lagers and stuff like that. So if you're really talking about cooking with beer, you want to stick to something kind of pure until you're ready for, I guess, sort of Bill Nye chemistry hour. And then go ahead with these lactose things. But just, you know, be warned, you know, caveat emptor. What else to say about this next week? I think we're going to talk a little bit about cooking with cider, which I actually have gotten really into, and so we'll talk a little bit about doing that and whatever else crosses my fancy. But in the meantime, go Devils, and I hope by the next time we talk, because I think the draft is coming up as well, the NFL draft. So I hope that Eric Meehan is a very happy man. We'll find out.
Fingers crossed on our end. Thank you, Eric.
Indeed. Thanks, gents.
You bet. We'll catch you next week. Eric Meehan of Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, every Tuesday here on Downtown. Visit Eric and the gang, 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor.